Fans, great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball today. The rubber match of the Giants and the Nationals, Josiah Gray and Alex Cobb. Well, a pleasure to bring in Katie Wu. We love having Katie on as she is the beat writer, covers the Cardinals for The Athletic, and the Cardinals are coming in for four this week, Thursday through Sunday, and they are chasing the Brewers in the Central right now, and they get Arizona today as well. So, Katie Wu, how are you? Nice to have you on the show.
Hey, Marty, so nice to talk to you, and I'm sure you know I'm already looking forward to that four-game series in San Francisco. I joke it's my favorite road trip of the year, but of course, it feels like coming home for me. So very much looking forward to that.
Oh, we love it. We love it. Look forward to having you on next weekend, too. Let's talk a little bit about the Cardinals. Boy, the bats have slowed down for the Cardinals, and the Brewers have won five in a row now. Yelich is even hitting a little bit. And today we get Arizona again, and they've beaten the Cardinals twice. And I want to get your take on what's going on with the Cardinals and a little bit of the pitching matchup today of Hicks, because we will see him next weekend.
You will. And we'll start with Jordan Hicks just because I think he's such an intriguing just overall player. I mean, this is a tantalizing young 25-year-old guy that the Cardinals have been high on for years now. I mean, he skipped Double-A and Triple-A and went straight to the majors from Class A advanced ball when he debuted in 2018. But for Jordan, it's been kind of a tough road. I mean, he had Tommy John surgery. He opted out of the 2020 season, comes into 2021 under somewhat of an innings limit and deals with shoulder soreness and ultimately loses most of his 2021 season as well. But in 2022, we're seeing the Cardinals kind of stretch Jordan Hicks into this high-leverage, high-velocity reliever. I mean, this is a guy that regularly touched 104 and 105 miles per hour when he was healthy, into a starting pitcher. And they really believe in Hicks' ability to be stretched out. It's just interesting the way that they're doing it. The way it's been explained to the media and the way that it's explained to Hicks is they're essentially stretching out Jordan throughout April and early May as they would stretch out a regular starter throughout spring training. So he's under a little bit of an innings limit to start. I think today against the Diamondbacks, he's slated for about four innings, 50 pitches or so. If he looks good, he'll maybe get an extra inning. But it's an interesting case what they're doing with Jordan Hicks, but you can see why if you look at the stuff and his makeup. Obviously, you know, there's a very high potential for him to be a high leverage starter.
Well, we're going to see him next weekend. Looks like Michaelis, Jordan Hicks probably on Friday, Steven Matz and Dakota Hudson. So we don't see Wainwright for a change. We usually see him against the Giants, but Hicks will be in there. How about this weekend series with Arizona, though? The Cardinals are not hitting. Now, they hit the Mets physically nicely. They had a good fight with them, which we'll talk about. But the bats have slowed down here. O'Neill is not hitting much. Goldschmidt's have slowed down. So let's talk this series with Arizona and how good Michaelis has been really this season.
Yeah, you know, I think the power numbers for St. Louis are way down, considerably down from where they'd like it to be. There's been a lot of guys that have struggled to get going. Tyler O'Neill certainly has not had the April he was looking forward to. Same with Dylan Carlson, a NorCal native from Elk Grove, has really scuffled out of the start. Paul Goldschmidt is notoriously a slow starter when it comes to April. I always say we should probably wait till end of May to evaluate. But, of course, he did snap an eight-game. Yes, that's right, the Cardinals an eight-game without hitting a home run. He snapped that streak against Madison Bumgarner. As I'm sure Giants fans remember, Paul Goldschmidt does hit Madison Bumgarner pretty well and snapped that streak on Friday. But the Cardinals have bats have gone dead silent since then. And, you know, it is concerning. I know that there's plenty of controversy regarding MLB's baseballs, but the fact of the matter is the Cardinals have to at least be able to hit the ball for that controversy to really be into play, and we've just seen some really low production numbers specifically from the power. It has really come to bite Miles Michaelis, who's had a fantastic April, finished the month with a 1.52 ERA, has allowed just one walk over his last three starts. In those same three starts, the Cardinals have managed to score four runs total. So, disappointing when you have a pitcher like Miles Michaelis, who has his fair share of injuries, is coming back and looking like how he did in his 2018 season when he was an all-star. You know, he's commanding all four pitches. He's been able to hit all his spots, the location as well. Again, the low walks are extremely, an optimistic sign for the Cardinals. But again, when you have a starting pitching that's doing all of that and you respond like the Cardinals did with two hits all game, it is a concerning development.
Katie Wu is with us. She covers the Cardinals and does such a good job for The Athletic. Have they settled on a closer yet? The last time you and I talked, they were still fooling around with that.
I think that you'll still continue to see Giovanni Gallegos as the closer. He took over closing duties last year in 2021 and has done a good job in holding down the ninth inning. He's had one blown save, and it was just kind of a very bizarre turn of events against the Mets, that whole series actually, but just a five-run ninth inning comeback for the Mets in which Giovanni Gallegos did end up blowing the save. But I think the reason the Cardinals were maybe considering tinkering with their closer is because they weren't sure what other high-leverage right-handed reliever they had. But now with the emergence of Ryan Helsley, who has one of the best fastball spins in baseball, has not walked a batter, has 15 strikeouts over his six appearances, Helsley has turned into a very promising right-handed weapon for them as well. So I think that gives the Cardinals a little bit more confidence to use Helsley in the high-leverage seventh and eighth inning spots and then turn to Gallegos in the ninth.
Boy, you brushed over that Mets series very quickly, Katie. That ninth inning.
I knew we'd get back to it.
Come on, that ninth inning, two out, and you got the big lead, and Arenado throws the ball, and doesn't get it over to first base. And, boy, things happened after that. You can tell us about it. It must have been crazy to watch it.
It was shocking to see it happen in real time because usually Mets fans would tell me that's the kind of loss that the Mets would have, right? I think it's a testament to how good this New York Mets team has been over the month of April. But, yeah, I think that was the Cardinals' most concerning loss of the month, just the way that it folded down. I mean, Nolan Arenado very rarely makes a throwing error. I think that's where things really started to go sideways when he rushes that throw, allows the runner to reach. And then Giovanni Gallegos, like manager Ollie Marmol said after the game, you can make those physical mistakes. Those happen. But Gallegos forgetting to cover the bags for the put out from Goldschmidt, who made a great stop on that liner. And then being late to throw home, you know, those are the kind of mental mistakes that the Cardinals really need to avoid if they, you know, especially when things are going so poorly offensively, they can't afford to be giving away extra 90 feet or in any regard, especially to a team like the Mets. So very egregious loss. Of course, you'd like to see them win the series after that and respond well. It did take a bench clearing altercation for them to show a little bit of fire that series. But that's what happens if you have the Mets and the Cardinals. You can pretty much count on there being some sort of dramatics anytime those two teams play.
What did you think of the brawl, so to speak? Now, Arenado got 2 days, and then they cut it in half to one. But it looked like a pretty good baseball fight. Alonso was fighting with the coach, Stubby Clapp, and it was a little bit more than just pushing and shoving.
Yeah, you know, I think there was a lot of pent-up animosity from both sides. And, you know, the Mets have a very fair gripe. They've been hit with the most pitches in baseball. Pete Alonso's been hit in the head twice already this season. But I think Nolan Arenado's vendetta against Yoán López was, because we all knew what was going to happen. You know, I think Ollie Marmol said during his post-game press conference that his four-year-old daughter could have saw this coming. When Genesis Cabrera hits J.D. Davis in the foot after a total of, at that point, six batters were hit by pitches over the series in two games, I think that just kind of set the tone. You look at how the game was set up. Cardinals had a five-run lead. They're sending their star player to the plate in the bottom of the eighth. It's likely the last time the Cardinals are going to get an at-bat in that series. You just kind of know, just based on baseball and the, dare I say, unwritten rules of the game, that, you know, your star player is probably going to get hit there. I think Nolan Arenado took a huge exception to Yoán López coming up high and inside. We saw nearly the exact same situation last year in Philly with Arenado at the plate, where Hector Neris hit Nolan low and inside, and there was no gripe from Nolan. He took his base without issue. Both managers at the time, Mike Schilt and Joe Girardi, had no issue, and it was fine. I think that the big deal for the Cardinals is the fact that Yoán López went high and inside, too close to the face, too close to the head, and took big exception to that, obviously.
Yeah, boy, what a week for St. Louis Cardinal baseball. We get to see them next Thursday through Sunday at Oracle. Yadier Molina, is he playing a lot, or are they sort of phasing him out a little bit? They're letting the other catcher catch some?
You know, it's been early on, it was more of a 50-50 split between Yadier Molina and Andrew Kisner. I mean, I don't know if you recall, Marty, but Yadier Molina did come late to spring training. He didn't get as many at-bats as him or the team would have liked. So there's a lot of splitting the time. between the two, just to make sure that Yachty was well rested and you know, working himself back up to full playing time. We've seen more Yachty as of late, but I still think that we'll continue to see more chances of Kisner. But Yachty Emeline has also been able to come around a little bit more offensively. He looks more comfortable at the plate. He's smacking some singles. But we will see Andrew Kisner probably more than we have in seasons prior. We had, of course, you know, it's easy to forget that Yadier Molina is a 39-year-old catcher. He's a little tired. This is his final season. The Cardinals will want to rest him when they can, so we'll probably see more Andrew Kisner there.
Well, before you get here, it's Kansas City and St. Louis, and I could be wrong, but did I see the game Mondays in St. Louis, the next two in Kansas City?
Yes, isn't that so weird? When the Royals
were in their
first two-game set, that's what I was thinking until I remembered this is how baseball is. You know, Marty, it's so easy to forget all these games. The Royals were here in very early April, and the second game of a two-game series was rained out. So the game on Monday is the makeup date of that postponed game in early April, and then the drive from St. Louis to Kansas City is about 3.5 hours, a 40-minute flight. So both the Cardinals and the Royals will then make the trip back to Kansas City and play two games there. So technically, it's two different series against the same opponent.
So what do you think? Brewers, Cardinals, everybody else in the division is awful. Although the Pirates are kind of pesky, but the Reds are just 3-18, and the Cubs are getting whacked around pretty good by the Brewers. How do you like the division?
I think the division will, it's definitely not one of the more competitive divisions in baseball, but I think it will make for a good rivalry between the Brewers and the Cardinals going down to the final stretch. I think April was pretty indicative of that. The two split their early series 2-2 in Milwaukee. But I do think that whatever happens in this very long season, as we know, Marty, I think you can count on the Cardinals and the Brewers going down to the wire for that division title.
Boy, it's going to be fun. Katie, thanks so much for being on. Look forward to seeing you this week, and it's Giants-Cardinals, and it's always a good series, always a good series. So I appreciate you being on.
Thanks so much, Marty. I really appreciate the time, and I'll see you soon, I hope.
All right, we will. Katie Wu, who covers the Cardinals for The Athletic, always a pleasure to have her on the show. All right, more coming up right after this on The Sports Leader.